The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Game Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MMA, MLB, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at Underdog Fantasy using promo code SGPNBA to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL Draft is coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamepodcast.com/offcontest, that's O-F-F contest, to enter today. And we're giving away $200 in our NBA Playoff Round 1 Prop Contest. Sign-up link is available in our NBA channel on our Discord. And welcome, everybody, to the NBA Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gam Podcast Network. It's a late-night episode, roughly 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host for this one, Scott Reichel, joined by Lante. And together, we're going to preview these Sunday games for round one of, or game one, I should say, of round one in the NBA playoffs. Lante, we started officially the bracket today. How'd your picks go? How you enjoying the playoff action so far?
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. I haven't lost a game yet, so let's knock on wood. We got the Knicks and the under pending. So, yeah, we're looking good for the start. Hopefully we can just keep it going. This is my first show of the year, I think. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here with you and talk about some playoff basketball.
Yeah, definitely so far has been a pretty interesting day. Any takeaways you want to mention? I know that I was on the Mothership pod, and I think for the Saturday games, my lock was the under in the Magic game. It's a damn time machine back to like 2007. It's just an absolute rock fight in the half court, but that worked out well. I had Minnesota winning game one. I still think Phoenix wins the series, but I thought it was a must-win game for Minnesota in game one, and they came out, and especially in the third quarter, and he kind of dominated. Anything else catch your eye? I know the Knicks game still in the middle. The Lakers and Nuggets game didn't start yet. Anything catch your eye, though, from the first two and a half games?
To be honest, I'm going to have to go back and watch, I guess, you know, a little a snippet of that Orlando and Cleveland game. I didn't watch much of it. I was my niece had a little softball tournament, so I was there. I caught the second half of Minnesota-Phoenix. I think it was good for Minnesota to kind of exercise those demons. You know, Phoenix had swept them in the regular season, and had that big game. To where I think if Minnesota won, they were the one seed, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because
they would have been the two.
Two, okay, yeah. So I mean, good for them to exercise that demons. Ant had a big third quarter. I thought Booker was terrible. KD was awesome. I thought, like, Minnesota turned it on in the second half, and you saw really the defense kind of ratchet up and force Phoenix into some things that they didn't want to do. Outside of that, man, I thought the first half of the before the Embiid injury, well, up until the Embiid injury of, you know, the Knicks Sixers game was pretty good. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game tonight and then the rest of the slate tomorrow. I think we're in for some good games. Overall, I think the playoffs is like a 9.5 out of 10 as far as the matchup storylines and everything that we got going for us in the first round.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird when we were actually covering the series up to this point because we were still waiting on the 1-8 matchups, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're filling out the bracket, and it feels like every series is going like 6 or 7. Yeah. I don't know if you filled out a bracket and it felt the same way, but it felt like basically every series was going to be a marathon. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I agree, except for maybe I'm guessing – I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, but I'm guessing Boston, they got to exercise some demons too. I think they need to sweep or gentlemen sweep Miami. To kind of get that confidence back rolling. Outside of that, I think the Pelicans, you know, maybe can steal a game or two. But yeah, outside of that, man, I'm expecting lengthy series, 6-7, like you said. Depending on what happens with Embiid, I know you said he came back. I didn't catch it after he got injured, but
he didn't look like he was moving that well, but he was still out there on the court. So I know Philly went on a bit of a run though. They've cut it to 3. So we'll see if they can finish it out. We'll see what happens. But I think the only exception I had for a deep series prediction was the Mavericks. I just think they beat the hell out of the Clippers, and now Kawhi is probably going to miss game one. That could maybe be a sweep. I had 5, but we'll see what happens, and we'll see if Kawhi is able to go. Anything else, or you want to officially start?
No, we can jump right into it.
Sunday games.
Yeah, no, I'm good. We can jump right into it.
Cool. Before we actually do that, though, I want to remind everybody once again that this is not the only playoffs going on right now, because you have the hockey playoffs, and the Hockey Gambling Podcast is the official sponsored show of the week. So the puck's officially dropping today. My Islanders lost. I don't want to talk about it. Talon, Ryan, and Joel are breaking down every series leading up to the opener, and they're also predicting every game of the actual Stanley Cup playoffs. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast whenever or wherever you get your podcast. Plus, a reminder that we are giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign up link is in our NBA channel on our NBA Discord. Anyway, time to actually get into the preview for the Sunday game. So we're going to start off in order. You have the Heat against the Celtics, and I also know that we did not actually have time to cover the 1-8 matchups for the actual series predictions for the Heat-Celtics as well as the Pelicans and Thunder because, of course, the final play-in games were last night. I'm going to ask you right now, though, the Celtics are massive favorites. I think they're around, like, minus 5,000, minus 8,000 to win the series. Miami's around, like, 18-1, 20-1. You can pick whatever you want. You can probably find a better one on cut. I'm sure Sean will take some action on it. To ask you, though, are you giving Miami any chance in hell to at least make the series competitive?
Not really, but you know, I'm kind of like in that pool where I never can count Spo out. I mean, it's obviously a coaching mismatch. I think we all can agree to that. I actually think it's a coaching mismatch for anybody who goes against Spo, to be honest. I just think him and that staff are just too good. But again, without Jimmy, it's going to be tough. You got Boston, you know, Boston was kind of licking their wounds to get back and get some get back for what happened last year. And if Tatum didn't twist his ankle, I mean, who knows what would have happened in that game. Mm. But I do think that Boston will come out and kind of dominate them. But again, Miami's going in with no pressure. Like, it's no pressure at all. People are, you know, the series price is basically forecasting that it's going to be a sweep or a non-competitive series. So they have no pressure. Everybody's against them. I think backs against the wall in the pressers. I think a lot of the guys were kind of like channeling that underdog mentality. So, I mean, I trust Spo to get one. Outside of that, I don't think Boston. I don't think Boston comes in and hangs their head or anything like that after, you know, not having a meaningful game for what, like a month and a half. They had the East locked up for like a month and a half. So I think they come out on fire game one. I would expect them to route Miami in game one. And then kind of, you know, we get a competitive game two, and then maybe Miami steals one in game three and four, and then they come back and close it out in Boston.
Yeah, for the series spread, by the way, most series spreads are 1.5 games, occasionally 2.5 games. It's 3.5, and it's even money for Boston to sweep. Miami to win a game is minus 122. They think it's going to be a murder. I mean, that's what the odds makers are expecting, and I kind of have to agree, but I'm still a bit traumatized from whatever that was in the Atlanta series last year, where the Celtics lost not one but two games, and DeJounte ended up missing a game, and you still lost to Trae Young, and you blew a massive lead in that fourth quarter. We know Boston, if the game's close late, you don't feel good, because you know that historically speaking, Tatum and Brown have been really bad closers, and I can't even fully blame it on the coaching because that was an issue with Udoka as well. So that wasn't even a Missoula issue. That's something that just carried over, and it's probably been worse with Missoula, but still, that's the concern. If Miami can hang in there for three and a quarter quarters, and they are able to keep this game within like 5 points in the final 7-8 minutes, you probably feel decent. I'll put it that way. The problem is, can they get to that point? I don't know. Because we remember that Miami pulled off the upset against Milwaukee in the bubble a while back. And then the next year, Milwaukee played them and they swept them. And I think every game was decided by, like, I think game one was close. And then Milwaukee won every other game by, like, 15 or 20. So a part of me is concerned that Boston has been circling this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they were really looking forward to playing Miami. Butler's out, so it's not exactly the same thing. Maybe some Ewing theory there. We saw that in the final play-in game with Miami. We also think Chicago and Atlanta suck at basketball, so I'm not going to overreact to them winning that last game. I think we both knew, I think everyone knew, whoever lost the Philly-Miami play-in game was probably still in decent shape to actually make the playoffs, and that was the case, obviously, because Chicago and Atlanta just didn't want to go on vacation yet, and the NBA decided to give a 9 and a 10 seed an extra game, because why not? But I think Boston kills them. Miami can maybe win a game. I'm going to say no. I think Boston just sweeps them. I feel like people are overreacting to how Boston finished the season because they didn't care.
Yeah, I agree.
They clinched everything with a month and a half to go, and now you could argue, well, meaningful basketball, maybe they'll be rusty. Maybe they're not going to be fully up to it mentally. I disagree. They lost to an 8 seed last year. It was embarrassing. They were down 3-0. They probably should have lost in 6, but Derek White had the miraculous putback to lose eventually in 7 by about 30 on your home floor. I think Boston comes out and smacks them. So I actually think Boston's going to sweep. If I'm giving Miami a game, it would be one game, probably game three. That's it. I think Boston wins comfortably in a lot of these games. That's going to segue us into game one. I know people love Miami because they're an underdog, because they looked really good against Chicago. Congratulations, you beat the Bulls. They were below 500. Doesn't really mean anything. I think Boston is going to be up at some point in this game by 25. The question is whether they can actually close it out, or do they let Miami hang in there. I'm actually going to lean Boston, segueing to game one. It's minus 14.5 for the spread. The over-under set at 209.5. I'm going to take Boston. I just think it's a spot where Miami is going to get the really just the immediate revenge treatment, where Boston's been thinking about the series for over a year. They have the same opponents. Butler's not there to potentially save them, even though Butler was okay in that Boston series last year. He was fine. It was mostly Caleb Martin who went crazy and ended up being the main piece, or I should say the, I can't even think of the right way to describe him, the prime Ray Allen of the series. That's kind of how you could describe him there. But I just think that somebody on Miami's got to go crazy in order for them to be competitive. And Rozier's still injured. So I think Boston wins game one by 20. You?
Yeah, I'm with you. I would rather go with the, to put it like an official bet on it, I would rather go first quarter, first half with it. Just in case, you know, Boston gets up big and they kind of, you know, they're kind of reluctant to sit those guys because the game's kind of out of hand and then you got the backups in and, you know, anything goes with there. You get a backdoor cover or whatever the case may be. But I do think that they'll come out ratcheted up, ready to go. If you kind of, like, I'm worried about, like, the Miami doesn't have any ball handlers. Like, they're relying on Tyler Hero to cut, and you know, Jovic, which who hasn't been.
If comes back. If.
We'll yeah, if. And I read he's, what is he questionable for tomorrow?
I'm assuming he's going to play at some point in the series. It's a neck issue, though, and he missed two play-in games, so it's clearly a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how effective he's going to be in general, but we'll see. Yeah. Point is, I mean, though, he does add another ball handler. They don't have any ball handlers. You're right.
So I think that's advantage Boston. So you're going to, so basically you're going to put like Holiday on Hero. So then you're effectively, you know, playing him one-on-one, so you can kind of, you know, sag off of Hawkins a little bit. I mean, I know he can shoot it a little bit, but he wants to operate in the mid-range. So you're kind of catering to the defense. So that means that, you know, Porzingis can kind of be, you know, floater range, kind of try to protect in the rim. And I think that's going to take some adjusting for Spo. I mean, Spo's going to have it drawn up. He's going to have something drawn up. Whatever it is, he's going to have something drawn up. But I just don't think he has the soldiers to kind of compete. Not right away, at least. Maybe when he gets back to Miami and make some adjustments, kind of catch them off guard. But I do like the first quarter, first half a lot better than laying a 14.5. But I do lean that way as well.
Yeah, I think for the total, going to segue into that, I have to lean to the under. I don't think I can take an over in a Miami game. Yep. Miami is going to go out of their way to make every game as ugly as possible because they're not talented. It is what it is. You know, they're missing Butler. They're not the most talented team anyway. And we know Boston, when they're engaged, is still a very solid defensive team, especially when fully healthy, which they should be. I think Miami is going to try to muck it up. That's what they did last year. I think they're going to be physical. I think there's going to be a lot of, I don't want to say cheap shots from both sides, but a lot of physical play where fan bases from both teams think that the other player is a dirty player. You're going to get that a lot in the series. It's going to happen. But the point is, I like the under in this matchup. Boston can go crazy offensively. If Boston scores like 110, give or take, I'm not sure Miami like even gets to 95 in this game. So I got to lean under in this one. I just think Miami, based on what we saw in the two play-in games and we've seen so far in the playoffs, a lot less foul calls, a lot more physical play. I'll back that trend. These teams hate each other. They're physical. And Miami is going to go out of their way to try to win the same way they won the second play-in game by mucking it up, playing good defense, and trying to rely on Spoelstra to invent enough offense to win games. But I got to go with the under in this one. You?
Yeah, I love it. Love the under. And it's funny that you say that because after they won against the Bulls, they asked Bam, like, what does he expect from, you know, the Celtics series? And he said, like, ugly basketball. I'm expecting an ugly basketball. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be physical. I mean, which we probably already knew that anyway, but just coming from him, who's, you know, probably one of the most versatile defenders in the NBA, I think that is exactly how it's going to play out. Even if Boston gets to 110, 115, I don't think I'm not sure if Miami even wants to get to like 90, 95. I think they want to be like, they want to win at 88, you know, 88, 85. I don't know if they can hold Boston to that low point, but the zone is not going to work because the Celtics can shoot over it. They shoot one of the best percentages in the NBA, so that's not going to work. So they're going to have to play some kind of man, and I don't think they have the manpower to do that, especially offensively. Unless Caleb Martin turns into prime Michael Jordan like he did last year, and then we got another subject. But I do think that the under is a good play, probably one of my favorites outside of that Boston first quarter.
Yeah, part of me might be tempted by Miami team total over or team total under. I mean. Miami might end up scoring like 88 points,
seriously,
as you said before.
Seriously.
Like they might get clamped in this game. So we'll see what happens. But either way, though, do you want to segue to actual player props in this matchup? I know Terrell's been preaching it for the entire season, and we got to at least mention it. If anybody on Miami is going to do anything offensively against Boston, it's going to be the center, because Boston's been really bad at stopping opposing centers. So I guess you're on Bam. Do you agree with that? Do you think Bam gets clamped?
Man, listen, I was on Bam to have a bounce back game against Chicago. I thought he had a favorable matchup and he didn't deliver for me. So I'm kind of
I quit Bam props a long time ago. I quit a long time ago.
Man, Bam is my guy. Bam is a North Carolina guy, man. So but what I will say, I won't mess with his points, but I do think like rebounding, I think he'll have to get in and rebound a little bit more. But the person I'm targeting, man, is going to be Kevin Love. Kevin Love's been playing outstanding in both play-in games. He's playing really well. He shot the ball pretty well. Even some of the ones that he missed, like wide open on target, just kind of rimmed out. He's rebounding the ball well. Now, part of that has to do with having advantageous matchups in that zone, and I don't think they'll be able to deploy a zone against Boston. But I do think Kevin Love gives you some size on the interior, kind of get physical with Porzingis, especially when they put in Horford. So I think they'll kind of try to stagger his minutes with Horford's, so they can kind of match them up together. So I'm looking for Kevin Love, like points and rebounds over, and maybe even his threes over as well.
Yeah, I think that speaking of Love, he's going to be in the pick-and-pop game. Porzingis, we know, is not always the most willing to get out on the perimeter and actually guard opposing centers because he's trying to rim protect and trying to block shots. So I don't mind that angle for Love. Maybe if you want Bam over threes, I think it was at half a three in that Chicago game, and he actually went over, ended up hitting a three-pointer. He might attempt a couple. We'll see what happens. Trying to think of other props, though, that I might be interested in. I see Al Horford points is set at 5.5, and Cornette's injured. I'm not saying Cornette's any good, but at least that's another center you had on the roster. Now, Boston might end up killing this team, but either way, Horford 5.5 points. He's gone over in 10 straight, gone over in 19 of the last 20, I think, or 18 of the last 20, I mean. I got to be tempted by it. I know I'm not the biggest Horford guy. He also stretches the floor. Maybe Miami's going to prioritize and try to leave Horford open to some degree and try to make anybody else beat them potentially, but I got to at least mention it. I mean, anytime he's gone over this number in 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 straight games at 5.5. I might be tempted by the over there. Every now and then for some playoff series, you end up having to find a niche option that's mispriced. Maybe Horford's the guy. It's minus 130. I think that might be an interesting piece there for a pretty in-the-weeds prop, so to speak. Trying to think of anybody else. Sam Hauser, if you want the 5.5 points and assists, if you think Boston does blow him out. I mean, that's 2 3-pointers for Hauser.
Yeah,
he might be playing a bunch of minutes in the second half.
Exactly. So, that's exactly the angle that I was going to bring up. And Kevin Love, his points and rebounds is 11.5. I forgot to say the number. So 11.5. I think he 6 and 6. I think he can get that. I think he can score double digits, actually. And like you mentioned about Hauser, the 2 threes. I mean, if we're expecting a blowout here, I'm pretty sure we're going to see the majority of the bench come in with what, like 7 or 8 minutes to go?
Yeah. So, any 2 3-pointers. It's also including assists. You can probably find Hauser props just for points if you wanted it. But the assists have done well as well with that. His points are set at 5.5.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing as assists. Yeah. So I'll take the assist attachment because why would I not do that? But once again, kind of going with a niche option, I'm expecting Boston to kill this team. So I have a hard time fully picking the elite players, the superstar players from these teams, if it might be emptying the bench out with 10 minutes to go. So yeah, I have a hard time finding value there. Anything else you want to add, or should we move on to the next game?
I might look at some Peyton Pritchard stuff as well. Thinking that if they do go to that zone, then they're going to probably try to space them out when Tatum and Brown are off the floor. I think probably not a better set of shooters than Pritchard and Hauser. So that's why I like both of those guys. So kind of ancillary pieces to what Boston likes to do. So I'm gonna be on those guys in some capacity. Definitely Hauser. I haven't looked at Pritchard, looked deep into Pritchard's stuff yet, but Hauser is definitely going to be a buy for me.
Yeah, the only concern I have for Pritchard is that he's the greatest game 82 player in NBA history. I don't know his numbers in game 83.
That's what I said. I got to look a little deeper into it. Yeah.
It's crazy how good he is in the final game of the regular season when nobody cares. And the coaching staff just lets him play 40 minutes and he just comes out and gives you buckets. But anyway, time to move on to the actual next series, or the next game one, I should say. But before we end up doing that, do want to remind everybody once again, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, because the NBA playoffs are here and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You got tennis in there. You got NHL. A lot of other options you can use for your entries. But either way, you can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a lot of fun. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. And they also have a lot of great deals for the actual NBA playoffs. They're going to be running a lot of different promos, bonus cash, airdrops. Sounds fancy. Specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks on Twitter. That's at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. And a reminder that you should sign up with the code SGPNBA. And Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPNBA. Welcome back, everyone, to the NBA Gambling Podcast. Just finished previewing the Boston and Miami series and game one of that series. Now it's time to move on to the apparently Kawhi Leonard-less game one for the Clippers, because you're looking at the Mavericks coming to town, and they're favored. They're -2.5 against the Clippers. Over-under set at 222.5. Mavericks, of course, are favored to win the series, and now that Kawhi is probably going to miss game one, maybe onward, there was some, let's say, cautious optimism from the Clippers organization that maybe Kawhi would be able to go. But apparently the knee swelling is still bothering him, so we'll see what happens. But I'm going to ask you this because my thoughts are pretty simple in the series. I think that Dallas is going to win in 5, maybe even in 4. I think they killed this team. But to ask you, though, Lonte, if the Clippers are going to make this a series, they probably have to win game 1. Ty Lue, though, has been really bad in game 1s in the past. I think he's 1-5 straight up in his last 6 game 1s. I'm going to ask you, do you think the Clippers have a shot in this game?
The game, yes. I think they can. It, like you said, this is a must-win game for them, because that kind of gives you another game to get Kawhi, you know, back good. So let's say, for instance, obviously if they win game 1, you're not going to play him in game 2. You would just save him for game 3, because you're basically – you have a mulligan, basically. So you won without him, you give him a couple days, and you know you get that extra day or two in between games 2 and 3. So you give him a little bit extra rest. I mean, it's not the best recipe to kind of rely on Harden and then PG. I mean, PG is my guy, but he hasn't performed
playoff
well.
Westbrook?
Well, him too. But I think Westbrook is going to have to, you know, shine, because
he tried to carry that team last year after everyone got injured. So
I mean, he's the only one with a little bit of with a lot of alpha in him. I mean, he's the only guy that'll kind of get in people's face and tell them what they need to do. But and I think all teams need somebody like that. But I mean, you're relying on James Harden, who's coming off of missing. I think he missed the last 2 games of the season, so I'm not sure even how healthy he is.
They punted the last games anyway. They didn't care.
Yeah, that's true. So. But I genuinely think that he was still like hurt dealing with an injury. Yeah.
Well, his shooting numbers fell off a cliff, so he's definitely still injured.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of his numbers are down whenever Kawhi's out of the lineup, just because simply he just kind of erases a lot of deficiencies that they have offensively. But I'm probably gonna say they can win this game. This is the best shot that they have to win this game, kind of knock the confidence down of Dallas, because although, you know, Luka's had their number, this is the best team that he's had when he's played against the Clippers. So they got it. Paul George's got to have a big game. I don't think Harden has to, you know, have a big game, but if he can give you, you know, 16, 17 points, kind of dictate the pace of the game, give you
just
double digit assists.
That's all
you need to do. And you need guys like Powell to come off the bench and kind of heat up and score. Zubac to kind of wreck the shots. You can't let Gafford and P.J. Washington kind of rim run and get those lobs off the pick and roll. And you got to limit Kyrie. That's number one. I mean, Luka's going to be Luka, and Kyrie obviously is a great player. But if you had one choice, I mean, you would probably want to limit Kyrie and kind of make Luka go, you know, 1-on-5 because it's worked for you. He's killed you all series long for the past two series, even in a regular season, and you've won. So I don't think that formula is wrong. So you might want to shift your focus to trying to stop Kyrie and make everybody else around him score. So I'm going with the Clippers in game one, but I do think the Mavs win.
I thought you just thought that they were alive. I didn't think you'd actually take them.
No. I'm taking them in game one, and I think they're going to make it a lengthy series. I kind of want to take this series on a game by game basis because, again, like
just exactly.
I think that if the Clippers win this game, then Kawhi will come back in game three. But again, it is Kawhi Leonard that we're talking about, and he could play, you know, a first half and score 30 and then decide, well, my knee's hurting, I'm out for the second half. So I kind of want to take this on a game-by-game basis. But I do agree, Dallas is obviously the more talented team. They're playing the best. They have more weapons offensively. But, I mean, Kawhi changes everything if he's back in and healthy. So I'll take Clippers game one and maybe Dallas for the series. I'm not sure what that pays. I know you guys went over that last week.
I could check that. It's gonna be a very good price. But
yeah, I like that better than taking Dallas for the full series. So I'll take the Clippers for plus a 2.5, and I'll sprinkle on the money line. I think they can win this outright.
All right. So just to go through the game one and series here, you're gonna find better prices elsewhere. But the Clippers to win game one and Dallas to win the series is around 4-1.
Yeah, I like that.
So I'm gonna go Dallas. Just simply put, I don't think the series is gonna be close. This is the one series that's not at a 1-8 that I just looked at and said, oh, I think this team's actually going to kill this team. Initially going in, based on reputation, I thought, oh, Mavericks Clippers, just pencil me in for game 6 and game 7, and we'll just see what happens. But then Kawhi officially still has the knee issue. He's going to miss game 1. I don't even know how he's going to look if he plays. Like, that's a problem. Is he going to suit up and then get injured 10 minutes in? Who knows? He might give it a go and then immediately just, you know, throw the towel in and say, I can't play.
Right.
And at that point, they're screwed. I was not a fan of how the Clippers ended the year. They had a nice win against Denver, where they were down a bunch early, came back and won that. But it just feels like Dallas has the two best players on the court. I know Paul George is viewed as being a very solid player. He might make an All-NBA team this year. He might be a third-team All-NBA guy. We'll see. Point is, though, I think based on what we've seen this year, I'd rather have Luka. I'd rather have Kyrie. Probably. Kyrie was a borderline 50-40-90 guy. I don't know if he got the 50-40-90, but he was close. So
I think he was there. They just, like, if you round the numbers up, he was there, but I think, like, officially he didn't.
Officially, he was a little bit short.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. By percentage points, like 0.3 or some 0.2 or something like that.
The point is, he was crazy. You can make an argument this season that Luke is obviously the best player in the series if Kawhi's not going to play. And I think that Kyrie this season's been better than Paul George. Paul George gives you length, gives you defense. I get that. He has intangibles that Kyrie doesn't necessarily have. Kyrie's been okay defensively, though, compared to previous years. I just think Luka and Kyrie are going to put on a show. I just think that the Clippers are going to have to rely on Harden. As you mentioned before, I'll take my chances. Let's put it that way. Maybe he shows up for game one.
Not a bad proposition.
Defensively, he's a traffic cone. He always has been.
Yeah.
Luka's going to pick whatever matchup he wants. Do you want the Harden matchup? Do you want the Zubac matchup? Do you want the Westbrook matchup? Maybe you can pick whatever matchup you want. Luka's going to go for 35. I feel like that's the problem you have here, is that Dallas is always going to get, in my opinion, better shots because they have the best two shot creators, in my opinion, on the floor. And I'm concerned that if Harden is still injured, if his leg is still bothering him, and he doesn't have that explosiveness to get to the paint, I'm just a little bit concerned on where the Clippers' offense will come from for a full 48 minutes. I think that's my problem. For the Mavericks, you can stagger the minutes between Luka and Kyrie, so that way you're never totally screwed, and you could still have one phenomenal shot creator on the floor at all times. I don't think the Clippers can do that. I don't know what the Clippers really have. So based on the offensive talent and based on how these teams ended the year, I'm going to take Dallas minus 2.5. I think this game might be close for a little while. Maybe the Clippers go up early, and then the Mavericks come back and win it. But give me Dallas by 7, give or take. A somewhat close game, but Dallas pulls away late. Late in games, I'm going to take Kyrie and Luka over Paul George and James Harden. It's just how it's going to go. Yeah. So I'm going Dallas.
I can't disagree with you. Is anything? So let me ask you, is anything like too Ty Lue seeing kind of Luka in those two matchups and kind of maybe having something for what they want to do.
Hasn't Ty Lue basically punted game ones in the past, though? I remember the series they won in seven. Didn't the road team win like the first six games series or something stupid?
They did. No, they did. The home team didn't win until game five, I think.
They just completely punted game one and two, and they got their asses kicked. Like, I feel like Ty Lue is always a marathon instead of a sprint guy, which is why he's so bad in game one. He treats the whole thing like an experiment, like a mad scientist, going, we're going to try some random stuff. If it doesn't work, we got six games left. We'll figure it out. And it's like, all right, cool. The Mavericks game one. So
he's
going to figure it out as the series goes on. He's not the mid-game adjustment guy. I think he tries to adjust game by game.
Yeah, and to that point, I agree with you. I think that this time is different, though, because you have kind of – you already know that Kawhi's out. So you want to go all in to win this game to kind of give yourself that extra boost. Like, okay, we got the home split without our best player. So now if we can get him a couple of extra days rest going – you know, going one and one and not down 0-2 going back to Dallas. I think you can live with that versus going down, losing that first game, and then definitely a must win in game two. And who knows if Kawhi will be ready to play for game two. Now, if he's ready to play for game two, then, it doesn't matter. But I do think it's something to getting this first one out of the way. And then, of course, you're not going to try to punt the game. But again, if you lose, no harm, no foul. You're getting the best player, your best player on the roster back for game three. And then, it's a best of five after that. So I think you can live with that if you can. But you have to get this game one. Have to.
Yeah. So we both think Luka's probably going to have a monster game. The question is, how monstrous is the actual game? Because triple doubles at plus 340, which I have to be a fan of, but the Clippers always let Luka hit eight threes and they'll never let him pass the ball. That's kind of the problem. Usually Ty Lue's game plan is, listen, Luka's going to go for 35 or 40. But if he takes 28 shots, just takes a bunch of shots and you limit all the other guys, you'll take your chances.
Right.
Is there value on plus 340 triple-double, or do you just prefer Luka threes and points?
I think I prefer his points and rebounds. And I thought you brought that to like great consideration. I think they're going to try to shut down everything else. But I personally would just try to shut down Kyrie and make everybody else beat you. You know what Luka's going to do. I mean, you don't have an ideal matchup for – I mean, nobody does, obviously.
You actually just have a bunch of bad matchups.
Right. I mean, and you can put Paul George. Paul George is a above-average defender. But again, without Kawhi and, Harden being what he is. Yeah, you need it for offense. So he can't chase around Luka, two or three ball screens, and then you expect him to score 25 on the other end. So again, you got to kind of pick your poison. So I like the 340. I'm not going to lie. I do. But I'm kind of iffy on the assists. So I'm going to go with that points and rebounds because I think he could be able to get in the paint. I mean, they're not really big. I mean, they're not really big up front. I mean, who are they gonna play? I mean, Harden's a good rebounder, but Luka's going to play in the post. I'm pretty sure he's going to – if they put Westbrook on him, he's going to post him.
It's going to be Zubac and Plumlee being in rotation.
Right. So, I mean, I trust Luka to get, 10-plus rebounds. So I would go points and rebounds and even just play his rebounds over maybe to, 10-plus. I think you can get plus money on that.
Yeah, I see that Luka over 9.5 rebounds is plus 108 on FanDuel. So if you do want that, you can get it. The assists, once again, are a bit tricky because Luka is definitely the guy that would have a monster scoring game, historically speaking, based on how Ty Lue tries to get his base coverage defensively. Let Luka do his thing. Stop the others. It might be different now that Kyrie's there, but who knows? We'll see what happens. You have any props, though, you like for this game?
Nah, man. It's kind of tricky. Like I said, I really don't have a good feel for this series outside of this game, just strictly
on
the Clippers.
Clippers, though. So give me your script. Give me your player prop script.
Well, my player prop script is that Norman Powell and Russell Westbrook have great games. And by Russell Westbrook having a great game, I'm going with maybe a light triple-double for Russell Westbrook. So 15, 10, and 10 type of thing.
Oh, you meant an actual triple-double. I thought you meant 15, 8, and 7, like something.
No, like a light triple-double for him. 15, 10, and 10, maybe 15, 11, and 10. He gets in, plays good defense. Harden is facilitating, not taking all those step-back threes, kind of relying on the offense to get to him. And if they're going to win, they're going to have to do it on defensive end. So you want to protect that paint. You want to make sure that Gafford and Washington are not getting those lobs. And the bench, I think, is a big part of this series and this game because Exum's playing well. You got Tim Hardaway is going to come off, and he's always a spark plug. So you kind of want to limit those two guys. And with Kyrie and Luka being so dangerous with the ball in their hands, those guys are going to get open looks. So it's just a matter of if they can make them. So then you have to go to the Clippers bench. So there, I think the Clippers bench has to outscore the Dallas bench.
Mavericks bench. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Norm so Powell, I can agree with. We'll see what happens with Westbrook. I don't have any props on him, so I can't really give anything else. You want anything else to add, or should we move on to the next game?
No, we're good.
All right, so we just talked about a superstar player missing a game one. That's going to segue us into the next one, but the Eastern Conference version, because Giannis is probably not going to play against Indiana. Indiana, another road favorite of about -1.5, and the over-under is set at 231.5. I'm assuming we're in agreement quickly that Giannis will probably not play, based on the news reports and how it's trending. I'm assuming you agree he's probably out, right?
Yeah, and I heard Tony Allen, who had this injury, like I heard him on Chris Vernon's show say, like, he's done. Like, he's not coming back. He's like, he had that injury, and it's painful. Like, it's like literally nothing that you can do, no matter what treatment you get. And this
right
is coming from
the playoffs, too.
Yeah. Right. And he said he was out, like, I think he got injured in that series where they lost to the
Golden
Spurs.
State, maybe.
They were
up 2-1 in that series, and then Tony Allen basically died, and they immediately
One of those series, yeah. So
Steph Curry hit that like 70-footer and then that series was over at that point.
Yeah. But, so basically, he was. I mean, I got to take that into account. Like, soft tissue injuries are never good at all, and you know, we know what happened to Kevin Durant whenever he tried to come back from that calf injury. So yeah, I'm assuming that, you know, Giannis is probably going to try everything he can to come back, but I think it's a foregone conclusion in that locker room that he's done for the year.
Yeah, when Giannis comes back, I'll probably take his under for points because I don't think he'll have any explosiveness for one of his legs. So we're just going to see what happens there. I believe that was the Tony Allen first team all defense series.
Oh, it might have been.
I think that was the same series. But yeah, I love Tony Allen as a player.
Me too.
For the actual matchup, though, the initial call for me, just for the overall series prediction, I had Indiana to win game one, Milwaukee to win the series. I still have concerns about Indiana's inexperience, and Haliburton kind of hit a wall there in the second half of the year. We'll see if he can get back on track. Mathurin getting hurt sucks because he was a very explosive offensive piece. I'm going to ask you, though, do you think this is a Ewing theory? Let's win one because no one's picking us, or are you picking Indiana?
No, I love Milwaukee here, man. I really do. I think that, you know, everybody's picking the Pacers, and I mean, you know, whatever, you know, Giannis.
You mean the series or game one?
Both.
Like, I have Milwaukee to win the series.
Yeah, like people think. I mean, I've heard like prominent people say like they just don't even give Milwaukee a shot. And
I got seven games. Give me an absolutely chaotic series. And the crazy part that I'm predicting is Doc Rivers winning a game seven. That's the crazy part of the series prediction that I got going.
Yeah.
But I'm picking them to not have a 3-1 lead, so I feel better about it. But anyway, you can make your case for Milwaukee.
Yeah. So my thing is, I mean, I understand that the Pacers beat Milwaukee with Giannis in the regular season, but again,
was it three out of four or four out of five?
I think it was four out of five because they played in the play-in.
Four out of five, because they had the in season. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, totally different team now, and I do think it's something to Dame having. You know, he's back against the wall pretty much because everybody's counting him out. I'm pretty sure he hasn't felt like this since he was back in. I mean, you know, playing in Portland when CJ McCollum.
It is Portland. He's by himself out there.
Yeah, I mean, basically. But I do think that, I mean, the Pacers, while they've been playing well, like you mentioned, Tyrese hasn't been at his best. He hasn't been at the top of his game. And I mean, while experience is a little bit overrated in any sport. I really do. I would rather have the best players rather than any experience. But I mean, top to bottom, do you think that Indiana's roster is better than, even without Giannis, do you think it's better than Milwaukee's?
I would say probably not. Bobby Portis, I think, is really good. Like, they have a bunch of X-Factor guys
right
that Indiana doesn't have. Indiana's right. X-Factor is what? Like, Nesmith and maybe a little bit of Obi Toppin?
McConnell, I think, is a bigger...
Okay, yeah. Fair. But yeah. You get my point. I understand where you're coming from. The truth is, I gave it out because I like the price. It was 4-1. That was before Giannis was officially basically ruled out for game one. So I like the value at 4-1. The closer we get to the actual start of this game, the more I like Milwaukee. So I've kind of completely benedicted. I want to see if I could pull up the sound bite. I know Terrell would want me to, so I have to see if I can find it. Here we go. There's the Yankee Doodle sound effect. Yeah, so I'm going to benedict here. I'm actually going to lean to Milwaukee. We saw it in the play-in. Two separate play-ins on Friday. The star player was out, and the rest of the team said, we don't give a damn. We're going to win this game. Yeah. And I just Milwaukee with the home crowd is in a good spot. So I'm actually going to flip. I'm going to lean Milwaukee in game one. I still have them winning the series. It's 4-1 once again for that prop, so I don't feel that bad about it. But I do think Indiana, with the inexperience, might come back to bite them. We saw Orlando today look awful. They had a bunch of guys who clearly were not ready for the moment, at least in game one. Banchero was okay. I don't know what Suggs was doing, but he was trying to shoot the team out of the game, basically. Suggs was terrible today. But the point is, Orlando looked like a deer in the headlights. And I do think that might be an issue with Indiana. Yes, you have a hatred towards Giannis because of the game ball fiasco and whatever happened there. He's not playing. Milwaukee has seen a lot of playoff games from basically their entire roster. I think Pat Bev is actually going to be a very key piece to Milwaukee.
I do too.
Yep. If you put him on Halliburton, I know that there's a size disparity there, but if you can force Halliburton off a spot or force him to not get the easiest looks off of pick and rolls, does Indiana have a backup plan offensively, or is it just going to be Halliburton, please do something to get everybody else involved?
Running gun, Halliburton, high screen and roll, find the shooters in the corner.
They don't have anything else. Like, that's the problem I run into. That's kind of why I'm pivoting more to Milwaukee.
And I think Brook Lopez can win that Miles Turner matchup. I think he'll be able to kind of, you know, Miles Turner has an advantage. He's a small ball five, pretty much. I know they play some Jalen Smith a little bit, but I think that Brook Lopez can protect that rim. And if he's going to get more shots because they're going to probably be in a little bit more drop coverage. We all know Indiana is traffic cones on defense. So
they've gotten better, but they're still not good.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee will be able to get whatever they want offensively. It's just on the defensive end, can they limit what Tyrese wants to do in that screen and roll, limit them in transition? If they can do that, I trust Dame to kind of get it done. I think Middleton is a little bit healthier, and that's going to be a big addition for both ends because I think he's a plus defender whenever he's healthy as well. So, yeah, I'm going with Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee can potentially blow them out in this game.
I once again think that it's a spot based on how Orlando looked today. I might have undervalued how important playoff experience actually is, especially for game one. I'm going to lean Milwaukee. I'm going to agree. You're higher in Middleton than I am. I'm just not a Middleton guy. It is what it is. I recognize what his game is, but with all the injuries, he's just not the same guy anymore. But
yeah,
I am going to lean to Milwaukee. I just think they can give you different looks, and I don't think Indiana has that. So I'm going to lean to Milwaukee to get it done as well. I like the under in this game. 231.5 in a playoff game. What are you out of your mind? Have you seen the game so far this postseason? Give me the under.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that the Bucks are going to limit that transition. And once you kind of make the Pacers play in the half court,
I don't know what they got.
They're a different team. They're a totally different team. You got Brook Lopez in the paint. So what they're probably going to do is I'm guessing they start Middleton on Tyrese. And if they start Middleton on Tyrese, then they'll be able to switch that pick and roll. And so you basically switch it from Middleton into Brook Lopez, which is not ideal for anybody because Brook Lopez is an A-plus defender as well. So you're going to hide Dame on the I'm guessing Nesmith is going to be starting.
Probably.
So I was
like the only plus defender that I could think of. So
right. So probably. I would hide Dame on Nesmith and kind of make the other guys beat you. But yeah, I like the under. I think the Bucks are going to make this a half court game. Doc is real good at scheming up defensively. Doc is a really good coach when it comes to that, especially in the playoffs. So he does have his teams ready to go defensively, and I think he's going to have something for Carlisle. And that fast-paced offense. I think he's going to make him play left-handed. So I do like the under as well.
Well, that was one thing we talked about on the Mothership show, which I think it was Kramer who brought up. You know the last time Rick Carlisle made it out of the first round?
The championship for Dallas?
That is correct. He has not made it out of the first round ever since. So he's somehow even worse than Doc Rivers, I guess, in the playoffs. But yeah, I'm going to lean Milwaukee. I went full Benedict. I think it's a Bobby Portis.
I'll take credit for that, man.
I think Bobby Portis is going to kill this team on the inside with his intensity. And even with Beverly, they're just going to rev each other up like a WWE tag team group. Like, they're just going to go absolutely they're going to lose their minds in the game with the home crowd. So I like Beverly defensive props in this game, maybe steals if you want to go for that angle. I think Bobby Portis might walk into like 20 and 14. I think he's going to kill this team.
Yeah. I mean, Patrick Billups has been shooting. He's actually been shooting the ball pretty well also. So when they put, when they bring that second unit in, and they, I know he's been starting, but usually when they send Dame to the bench, they kind of stagger their minutes so they can have a, another ball handler on the floor.
Do you think Pat Bev might start? You just give him Halliburton assignment and just say, let's see what happens?
I think so. I think you bring that energy, and then you have Bobby Portis come in like around what the 6 or 7 minute mark, and have him and Pat Bev in the game at the same time, kind of ratchet up the defense.
You don't think Portis is going to start with Giannis being out? I got to assume Portis is starting, right?
I thought it would start Connaughton.
Okay,
and kind of keep Portis on the because I mean you don't want to throw all your chips in at once.
Some teams do that too. They bring in a starter to play 8 minutes, and then you just throw them to the bench for the rest of the game. So right, but
Bobby Portis has shown the ability to be able to perform whether he's starting or not. But I do think it's something because I mean Indiana's bench is not. They're bringing in like Obi Toppin. I mean, I know Jalen plays
McConnell,
a little bit.
And that's,
yeah, McConnell. Yeah. But I mean, outside of that. You know, I think that Bobby Portis can have a real big advantage when he comes in with that second unit. But again, I mean, I don't mind him starting at all. But I'm just thinking of it off the fly of what, you know, what I think they should do. But yeah, I think it's a great possibility that Bobby Portis has a great game.
Yeah, Danny Granger is not walking through that door. Victor Oladipo is not walking through that door. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Milwaukee as well. I think that the free throw disparity is going to be massive in favor of Milwaukee because they attack the rim. Indiana's best player, who's going to have the ball in his hands all the time, it's the main issue I have with Halliburton. Guy never goes to the damn free throw line.
Never.
Ever. He's a finesse player who's afraid of contact. So if your best player is going to be shy of getting calls or afraid of getting contact in the regular season, have fun getting those calls in the playoffs. I think Milwaukee's going to dominate in the free throw department. So, yeah, I like Milwaukee in the under. You have anything else you want to add, or should we move on?
No, we can move on. That's good.
All right, so for the last game of the episode, we're going to start off, though, with the actual series breakdown because we did the same thing for the Boston and Miami series, the other 8-1 matchup. You have the Pelicans, great job, 6-0 against one team in a season, which is impressive. Yeah, you might own a piece of real estate for either the franchise or maybe you could hang a banner in their arena if you go 6-0 in a regular season against one team. But the Thunder are a big favorite, nowhere near the Celtics. Celtics are like minus 8,000. The Thunder are like minus 650. The Pelicans are plus 440 for the actual series spread, though. The Pelicans plus 2.5 games and the Thunder minus 2.5 games are both at minus 110. I think we both agree that without Zion, the Pelicans probably do not have enough firepower. We did see the Pelicans dominate with their size, though, against the Kings, and I do think that can be an issue for OKC in the series. I think we'll agree Thunder win probably in six or seven, maybe.
I'm going five. I think Oklahoma City is going to come out and dominate the series, game one and the series. I mean, you know, they're one of two teams that are in top five in offensive and defensive rating, but their defense doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, you got Chet protecting the rim, and although they are, you know, kind of smaller, I guess, depth-wise on the interior, I do think what Dagnall does defensively kind of – he kind of schemes it up where you can't really get in to dominate the paint. And again, how many teams want to throw the ball in the post for, you know, 14 seconds of shot clock? I mean, nobody does that anymore. But so if you limit Valanciunas and you kind of turn him into a jump shooting team, Oklahoma City's really good at defending the three. They force turnovers. They're first in turnover percentage defense. They shoot the hell out of the ball. I think they're one of the only teams in the NBA that has a lineup for whatever scenario that they can get in. They can call on any of those guys, whether it's Aaron
Except
Wiggins.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
Can't match up with the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Besides the Lakers, they can.
Yeah, but so they got like Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins. Like all of these guys bring something to the table no matter what scenario or no matter what team they're playing. So I think that versatility is going to come to fruition against the Pelicans. I mean, they played three games. They won two of three. Both of those games they won in New Orleans. They lost the one at home. They beat the – in game two, They beat the Pelicans by 24 with no Zion. Nobody on New Orleans scored more than 14 points, so that defense was, you know, on full display there. SGA had 31. J-Dub was a plus 22. Didn't play his best, but he was a plus 22, so he was doing all the right things. The Oklahoma City's being disrespected, and I don't think that they're going to take it lightly. They've been sitting at home waiting for this. Everybody talking about they don't have a shot. I think they come out and dominate OKC in game. Dominate the Pelicans in game one. I think they win the series 4-1, Scott, man. And I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep them, but I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that Brandon Ingram, Trey Murphy can hit enough shots to kind of get them a win in maybe game three. And then Oklahoma City closes out in game four.
Yeah, so I think we're on the same page. I was mentioning numbers at the end. I didn't think you would pick them in a sweep. I wasn't going to either. I have Thunder in five. That was kind of my thought. I thought that you'd end up seeing one game where the Pelicans maybe end up using Nance and Valanciunas and they just dominate the boards. Like, there's one game, probably game three, where they just decide we're crashing the glass on every damn possession and they're going to win the rebounding battle by like 15. I think there's going to be one game where that happens. The issue that you run into is relying on Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum. Now, Ingram was actually good in that game against Sacramento. McCollum's vanished from the face of the earth. He was awful in those two games. Even the game they won, he had 7 points. Now, right. I've mentioned it several times on the show, I am very anti-CJ McCollum. I'm not a fan of his game. I don't think he's a winning basketball player. And to be honest, as a head of the Players Association, I don't think he's done a great job either. But anyway, point is, I do think that you're looking at him being the main reason why I'm picking the Pelicans to lose. I don't think they have enough offensive depth. And I think when you're relying on Valanciunas, who may end up off the floor if the Thunder push the pace enough, we'll see how that works out. But if you're going to be relying on Ingram and McCollum to pretty much only operate in isolation, which is what they want to do, good luck trying to win games against like Shea and all these other guys that they have. And I think that's going to be the problem. I think that McCollum and Ingram both need to be really, really good on a regular basis to be even competitive in the series. Ingram might, because he at least has length. He can shoot over people. CJ's just taken a vacation for the last two games. Like, I have a problem relying on CJ. Am I wrong? What do you had your mind?
Yeah, I mean, he's been bad the last two games. It can be debated that Jose Alvarado's playing way better than him.
McCollum was great the last 2 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, he was 25 plus. Yeah, 25 plus in like 11 straight games. Like,
but we've seen playoff McCollum. It's not the exact same thing as playoff Tobias Harris, but you don't exactly like your chances with CJ McCollum.
I will say this. I think they're using him. I think he can be utilized more as off ball. So he's not a point guard, and they're using him as a point guard because they don't have one, and they don't want to start Alvarado or play him in, you know, big time minutes. He's better in pockets of the game. So I do think I'm not saying that, you know, he's, you know, this whatever player, but I think that he's been utilized in this system a little bit outside of what he's comfortable with. He's better as a two guard. I mean, that's what he is. He's a two guard. He's not a point guard. So I think they're using him as a point guard and it's kind of throwing him off. But then, I mean, you can counter to that and say, well, in the regular season, he was, you know, 11 plus. I mean, he ended the regular season with 25.
He's been a shooting guard his entire life. He's not a point guard.
Right. So I do think the Pelicans offense is kind of like to a disadvantage to his skill set. He has thrived in certain situations, but just overall in a 7-game series, I do think a team like Oklahoma City is going to exploit that and force him to turn. I mean, they're number one in turnover percentage defense, so they're going to be in his grill, turning him over, turning defense to easy offense. So I think they're going for a rude awakening. And we saw him throw the ball away several times in both of the playing games. So if he was doing that against teams who don't turn teams over, what is he going to do against OKC, who's really good at forcing teams into turnovers? So
not even just that, just against teams that are mentally soft. I think the Kings are a soft team. I think that the Thunder will be willing to handle all the smoke.
Yeah, definitely. Last time Thunder won a playoff series, what year?
I got to think about that one. Did they win one when Durant, or after Durant? I don't think they did. I think Durant and Westbrook were still together. I got to think of what series they won, though. Because I remember Paul George and Russell Westbrook lost to, they lost to like the Rockets, and they lost to rookie Donovan Mitchell, which was embarrassing.
Yeah, 2015, 2016.
I got to remember who they beat, though. I don't remember. Was it the Grizzlies? I don't know.
They beat the, I had it wrote down.
I'll get Durant and Westbrook being together. So, yeah.
So it's 2015, 2016, the last time they won. 2019, the last playoff game.
Oh, wait a second. Wait. So 2015, 2016. So Durant left to go to the Warriors the year after. So who the hell they beat in the first round? Because they choked against Golden State. Who the hell they beat?
Yeah, I'll find out. I had the year wrote down. I didn't have the team.
Okay. Point is, it's been a long time. So the crowd's going to be nuts.
It's going to be insane.
I like OKC in game one.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you do too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all over. First quarter, first half, any way you can bet them. I think just the disrespect that they've been given all that, you know, they're hearing it and, you know, Dagnall's been drilling it into them. So, yeah, I think they're going to be turned to the max. So, yeah, give me Oklahoma City first quarter, first half, full game.
I'm going to lean under. I think New Orleans has to rely on their physicality, and I think they have to make the game ugly. Not going to compare it exactly to Miami, but a similar idea. Use your size, use your length, muck up the half court, and hopefully you make enough isolation jump shots to win, because you should dominate the glass. So with the dominating of the glass, you have to stop the fast break, rely on Valanciunas and Nance to probably combine for, what, like 20-something rebounds in this game between the two of them? And just win the glass battle? Is that basically the script
for New Orleans?
So I'll go with the under.
Yep.
I think it's going to be an ugly game. By the way, I got good news and bad news for you, Lante. Bad news is Mavericks. Under loss. Wait, what? Oh, the Mavericks. Okay.
I was just saying the Mavericks was the EF4 15-16.
I don't remember that series at all. But anyway, good news and bad news. The bad news is your Knicks under lost. The good news is the Knicks won. So you ended up chopping. So.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll take it.
Just letting you know. That's what happened. That's going to do it, though, for the actual breakdowns of game one. Now it's time for the lock and dog picks. Lante, I'm going to let you go first. What is your lock for the show?
Lock for the show, Boston Celtics first quarter. Let me find an updated number just to make sure that we are not giving out any stale. Brid, what we got? Come on.
It's all good. The Wi-Fi only fails when you need it.
Right. 4.5. Yeah. I think they'll be up 8 or 9. So I'm going Boston Celtics -4.5 first quarter. For the dog, I'm going with the Clippers. That was the only dog that I think I liked. So I'm going to go with the Clippers to get it done. I'd rather just take, you know, an actual dog rather than kind of reverting. But I will be on Milwaukee as well. But yeah, I think the Clippers, this is a big game, a big game and series for them and their organization. Because if they flame out here going into that new arena, Paul George contract extension there, you got to figure out what to do with James Harden, what to do with Kawhi. I mean, you just extended Kawhi, so you're kind of married to him for right now. Sure. But
they're going to pay, just wait until they pay Harden all that money in the offseason.
Yeah, so I think this is a big series defining win for this organization if they can win this series. But I think it starts with game one. So I'm going with Paul George and Russell Westbrook to get me home with the dog.
All right. So for my lock, a part of me wanted to take Dallas, just obviously thought about that. I think I'll save Milwaukee for my dog. So I got to figure out what I want to do. I really think Miami is going to be put in jail for this game. Like, I think offensively, they're going to be terrible. Miami's team total, though, is 97.5. Like, it's such a low number. Like, do I think they can actually get there? I'm thinking they
score in between, like, 89, 93.
That's what I think. I don't know if I like it more than Dallas, though. Like, that's kind of why I'm on the fence. You know what? I'll take Dallas. At the end of the day, Ty Lue's always been a guy who's willing to punt game one if things don't go well. He's going to experiment. He's going to try some things. If it doesn't work in the first half, that's fine. We'll figure it out later. Don't worry about it. So they'll go through the film room later, and they'll figure it out. So give me Dallas -2.5. I just think that without Kawhi, this team offensively just does not have enough firepower. So I like the under in that game too, but I am going to go with Dallas to get the job done in that one. For my dog, I might take an alt line with Milwaukee. Yeah, I've been kind of persuaded. I just think that spot where Milwaukee with the home crowd, Indiana's inexperience might come back to bite them. I might be tempted to actually parlay Milwaukee with the under in the game. I want to see if I could actually find what that would be. Yeah, I'll do that. Milwaukee money line parlayed with the under 231.5 plus 258. That'll be my dog.
Yeah, I like that. I like both of those. Cool.
I do want to ask you, though, Lante. Underdog's not legal in my state, so I can't pull up any lines. Do you have Underdog access or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll pull it up real quick. Hold on.
Because usually we do Underdog Fantasy lineup, but I actually am incapable of pulling up Underdog Fantasy. They don't let me get any lines. So
yeah. Yes, sir. I got. Let me get to tomorrow's games, though.
Cool. You can fill in anything you already want. So it's fine. Just make sure you share your answer with the class.
Actually, you know what? We're gonna have to audible because I'm gonna have to like reset my password and all this.
It's fine. It's all good. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Point is, Underdog Fantasy will probably maybe tweet something out, and that probably makes the most sense. We'll tweet out an Underdog Fantasy lineup from the NBA Twitter account. So stay tuned for that. Other than that, though, it's gonna wrap it up for the Sunday games. Nothing really else to add. We should get out of here so everyone can watch the Lakers Nuggets game. Lante, anything you want to add before we go?
Nah, man. Appreciate everybody joining us. Good to be back, man. Good to be back talking to NBA with you. Hopefully, we can get some winners tomorrow. Big day today, so hopefully, we can roll it over and keep going for the rest of the playoffs.
Yep, sounds good to me. But other than that, though, we'll be back once again to get into the Monday games on Monday. So for the weekend, we were doing a day early. That's going to end for the schedule update. For Monday's games, we will preview them on the normal time, 11 a.m. Monday morning. Other than that, though, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone. Basketball, give me the ball because I'm going to dunk it. Basketball.